Let us now turn for our scripture reading, which is found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 8. We turn now to the prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 8, and we read from the verse 1 through to the verse 15. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear his holy, infallible, inerrant and sacred word. The Lord give us ears to truly hear and hearts to receive his precious word. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great scroll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shal Hasbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah the son of Jebri-Chai. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh, that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Ramallah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. O Emmanuel, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may the Lord bless that public reading of his precious word and grant his blessing to the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our poor and never dying soul. Let us unite our hearts in a further moment of prayer as we come to God's word. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to hear what thou wouldst have us to hear, Lord. We pray, O gracious God, that thou might take away distractions and cares upon our minds. Lord, we pray that thou would shut us in with thee, shut the world and our troubles out, Lord. Come, bless us for thy name's sake, get glory to thy name. Come and, we pray, sanctify hearts and save souls, O Lord. Be merciful to us, Father, for we draw near through the one who is indeed the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in his lovely and precious name. Amen. Congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words which I read to you earlier in your hearing there in the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Well, as we come to this portion of God's word, I want to consider a particular text this evening. We'll come to it in a moment, but let me just set before you the context and the setting of these words. We know that the prophet Isaiah began his ministry in the year of Uzziah, that he died. He was raised by God to prophesy and to warn the people of Israel and Judah. He began his ministry somewhere around 740 BC and ministered for some 55 years to the year 685 BC across the reigns of four kings: King Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and lastly King Hezekiah. As you know, the history of Israel and Judah since the days of Solomon, after Solomon, his son Rehoboam began to reign, and Rehoboam didn't listen to the elder men in his day, and so he decided to tax the people heavily, and this was a warning that he didn't heed not to do so. And so the kingdom was divided, Israel in the north, the 10 tribes, and then the two tribes in the south, Benjamin and Judah, known as Judah. And so that was the split in the days of Rehoboam, Solomon's son. And since then, Israel fell headlong into apostasy very quickly, into gross idolatry, Baal worship under Jeroboam, their king in the north. And Isaiah was commissioned alongside with prophets like Hosea to preach and to warn Israel and Judah that if they continue on in this apostasy, in this forsaking the living God, that they would be severely chastened. And as I said, Israel fell into gross idolatry far quicker than Judah in the south, so that in 722 BC, Israel in the north was overthrown by the Assyrians, and it would never have a king again. They were dispersed and became the Sumerians, never to have a king again. But Isaiah, after that happened, this is during the ministry of Isaiah, Isaiah continued to prophesy, and he prophesied to Judah that she would go into captivity. That happened in the year 586 BC, long after, and indeed Isaiah spoke of her release, and the people returned, and the city was built. The Babylonians, of course, destroyed Jerusalem. It was ransacked, the temple burned. But the Lord, in mercy, sent the people back. The issue under King Cyrus, the decree was issued, and the people went back, and there was a great rejoicing. And the psalmist says it was like a dream. They never thought that they would return back to the land. But God, in his mercy, after that period of chastening, returned the people and restored them again. In the prophecy of Isaiah, it's a very large book, as you know, containing some 66 chapters. Within these warnings, there are some marvelous prophecies concerning the coming of the Savior. Not only prophecies here toward these two nations, if they didn't repent, God would chasten them, but there are interwoven within these prophecies wonderful prophecies concerning the real deliverance which sinners need. And that is the deliverance from the consequence of our sin. Of course, God would chasten his people, but true deliverance comes only through the Savior, who would bear our sins in his own body, as Peter says. And the scriptures are replete with prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, Isaiah 53, written some 700 years before the coming of the Savior into this world, speaks of his sufferings. We have four servant songs in the book of Isaiah, all speaking of the suffering Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah who would eventually come from the tribe of Judah. He, as Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 53, the verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is, all of his people. And so interwoven within these prophecies of the wonderful promises that God would send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, who is styled as the Savior of the world, that is, all that in the world who would believe upon him and that is by free and sovereign grace, would be saved. And we have within chapter 8 that we have read prophecies concerning Israel and Judah and how God would deal with them, but also a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is particularly the verse 14 that I want us to consider this evening, which has to do with a Savior. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now you'll notice in that verse there are familiar words that we see in the New Testament, words that the Apostle Peter speaks of. There, as we read, a stone of stumbling. Peter speaks of this stone of stumbling, and it can only really be one person, and that is the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 2:5, I read the words of the Apostle Peter, given by the Holy Spirit. Ye also, he's speaking here to Christians, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, and so on. So it's very clear from Peter's words that who is being referenced here in Isaiah 8 to the verse 14 is none other than the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul as well, in his epistle to the Romans, in Romans 9:33, speaks of here Christ again. He says, As it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And that is exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is to many. Many stumble at Christ. They stumble, they're offended at Christ. But elsewhere we read in the Scriptures, that stone will crush men to powder in the final day. He is the rock of salvation to many. He is the chief cornerstone of the building of God, the church of Jesus Christ. It is founded upon his shed blood and his righteousness. Every believer is built up in the dear Savior. And one thing we learn from this text is that he is for a sanctuary. We want to think about this evening, Christ, our sanctuary. We know from Isaiah 32, those wonderful words, And a man shall be an hiding place, a shelter from the storm, a covert from the tempest, and so on. The Lord Jesus Christ is our sanctuary. What is a sanctuary? It is a safe place. It is a hiding place. It's a place where we can take refuge. And I want to address us all this evening, whether we are the Lord's, whether he is our hiding place, or we know nothing of him to be our hiding place. It is good to preach about our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the hiding place of all his people. He is the sanctuary. He is that salvation. He is that rock of salvation. And blesses the man, as he said, that is not offended in me. And so there's no doubt that these words here in Isaiah 8:14 refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now before we come really to this text, you notice in the verse 1 to 13, I'm not really going to expound it, but I'll give you the gist of it. The Lord in the verses 1 to 13 is addressing Israel, and he's telling them that his wrath is going to come, and that he's even going to use the nations to chasten Israel. And in that day of Isaiah, a sign was given concerning these prophecies that they would surely come to pass. And the sign would be, in the verse 3, that a prophetess would conceive and bear a son. And as you notice there, it's a very long name, Mahashal Hasbaz. And before the child was able to say, my mother and my father, of course the child was given the name, we read, before it was born. a name was given. But before the child could say, "My mother and my father, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria," verse 4, "shall be taken away before the king of Assyria." And that happened. That was fulfilled. God is always true to his word. The prophecy and the judgment came to pass because the people were, notice, refusing the waters of Shiloh. You know from scripture that Shiloh means sent. And that is exactly who the Lord Jesus is. He is the sent one. Remember, he sent the man to the pool of Shiloh. He is the sent one, the Lord Jesus. And men refuse him in this life. And it is to their detriment. And you notice in verse 8, it speaks of one called Emmanuel. "In these days he shall pass over the land," verse 8, "and pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings, he shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel." We know that he came in time, but the Lord Jesus Christ was even working in those days amongst his people. But he came and he did walk the plains of Israel, Judah. And Emmanuel, as we know, is God with us. In the previous chapter, Isaiah chapter 7, we are told that a virgin shall conceive. And we're told, aren't we, that his name would be Emmanuel. The angel spoke and gave the name. His name shall be Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And you see, the whole picture is this, is that eventually Christ will be victorious. In the spiritual application of this, Christ will be victorious over the nations. Even his enemies, they shall be his footstool. And what you notice in the verse 9 to the verse 13, it's symbolic language couched in Psalm 2. "Associate yourselves," verse 9, "O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together," verse 10. Listen to the words of the Psalm 2. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And then we read, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." It's language couched in the Psalm 2 concerning Christ, as we thought this morning, how he will come and all nations shall bow before him. But in that great day of his wrath, his people need not fear, because verse 14, he shall be for a sanctuary. He is our sanctuary now. He is our hiding place. We rest in him, and all of our hope is in him. The just shall live by faith. Those in Israel who were truly born again were looking to this one who is the sanctuary. Their hope was in God, Emmanuel, who would come into this world and who would be a hiding place. Isaiah 32, "And a man shall be a hiding place." Our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came into this world to be a sanctuary. And he is a stone of stumbling for many. You see, many don't feel they need a hiding place. Many believe that they will be able to stand before Almighty God. In fact, I have heard people, as I've ministered in the open air preaching God's word, people audaciously saying, "When I see God, I'll have a word for him." My dear friends, we'll be silent before him. Sinners will be. But those of us who have trusted and believed in his Son, who is our sanctuary, we will be safe. Why? Because he gives poor, helpless sinners rest. The first thing I want to say this evening, Christ is a sanctuary for poor, humble sinners. The scriptures say Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." In this day, the people of God were helpless. But many of them, as we read, were looking for a confederacy, either with Egypt or other nations, but they were not looking to God. God says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none other. God is alone not only able to save us from our sin, but from our enemies. He said to Israel of old that their strength was to sit still and to wait on God. My help cometh from the Lord. Christ is our sanctuary. Now, the first time we find this word sanctuary in the Word of God is in Exodus 15. And I want you to notice something that is very striking in Exodus 15. It's the first time, as I said, we see the word there. And it's in that song of Moses. They have crossed the Red Sea. As the Lord has delivered them from Pharaoh and his armies, they have been destroyed in the Red Sea. And now they sing the song of Moses. And we read in the midst of that song, in verse 17, thou shalt bring them, that is his people, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell, in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. But we ask the question, has the tabernacle been built? No. Has the temple been built? No. But remember what Moses says in the oldest psalm, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place from all generations. Our sanctuary is God. And here, sanctuary with a capital S. You will not find sanctuary with a capital S anywhere else in the Scriptures. But here, it is speaking of a person, this man, and a man, this one, shall be as a sanctuary, and he shall be for a sanctuary. And this is God's promise to his people. The hope of Israel was not the tabernacle, but he that is greater than the tabernacle. Remember he that said, there is one here greater than the temple. And if you know anything about the tabernacle, it speaks of Christ. I could spend much time on many parts of the tabernacle, the things within the tabernacle. The writer to the Hebrews, the apostle says they are shadows of good things to come. The curtain, the showbread, the manna, all those things. He is the law personified. He is the law embodied. He is Aaron's budding rod. He is the manna which has come down from heaven. He is the sanctuary. He is the essence of these things. They all point to him. And therein is our salvation. I am the bread which come down from heaven. He is the law. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the one that has perfectly fulfilled the law of God for us. He is the shed blood, that blood shed for sinners. The animal sacrifices all pointing to his finished work. Who is our sanctuary? Who is our rest? God, who is holy, must punish sin, and he did so in his dear Son. Other religions will tell you that you can make yourself right with God. But not so. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We have no hope but through this one, in which the tabernacle pointed to, and the temple and everything in it. His shed blood, Jesus Christ, our righteousness, our sanctuary. Other religions will tell you that you can be saved based on your personal merit. Do so many things and God will accept you. My dear friends, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he shall be for a sanctuary. You know that in the times of Joshua, that six cities were appointed to be cities, sanctuary cities. We hear of some sanctuary cities in America. It's nothing like that. If you're an illegal immigrant, you can go there and take some refuge. But these six cities that were appointed as places of refuge in the days of Joshua, all the names of these cities point to Christ. each and every one of them. And Christ is the one who we flee to for refuge. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that we who have believed have fled to Christ for refuge, a sanctuary. Now, what were those cities going to do? Well, in Joshua chapter 20, we're told that if a man was cutting wood and the axe head flew off the handle accidentally and killed his friend and nobody saw it, that man who accidentally killed a man could run to one of those six cities of refuge. The family of this man that's dead, the avenging family, would try to bring justice. But if that man could get into one of those six cities of refuge, he could wait there, and there was a priest in that city, he could take refuge while there was a proper court hearing, and eventually the elders would meet together. Now remember, this is accidental death. But we have sinned deliberately, haven't we? Against God. Nothing accidental about our sin. And Christ is our refuge. And so the Lord instructed Joshua that these six sanctuary cities should be built. And the first city was Kadesh, which means holy. And that's one thing about the Lord Jesus. He was holy. In Him dwelleth no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But in His holiness, He provides a righteousness for His people. The Lord, our righteousness. The second city, Shechem, which means shoulder. And He is the good shepherd who goes and seeks His sheep. And He puts them on the shoulder and He carries them home. He goes and He seeks the lost sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. The Lord hath laid on Him, His dear Son, the iniquity of us all. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. And He shall rule. He shall rule as a king for His people. The third city is the city Kirjath Arba, which is also Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, which means fellowship. And you see, we have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Our sins have made a separation between us and our God. But blessed be God. We thank the Lord Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have fellowship. John says, we write unto you that we may have fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What a sanctuary we have in the Lord Jesus. Though we have sinned against a holy God, we have now been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. The fourth city there is Beza, defense. The Lord Jesus is our defense. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Christ has died for us. He defend us right to the very end. We shall stand with Him on that great day of judgment. And what is our plea? Jesus has died for me. That's our hope, isn't it? Hope in Him. And He will defend His bride and His church and His people to the very end. What a sanctuary we have in our blessed head, the Lord Jesus, who loved His church, who loves His bride, as a good husband loves his wife, protects his wife. What love Christ has for His people. Do you know anything of this sanctuary, friend? Do you know anything of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? David said, Thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. My dear friends, if you know the Lord Jesus, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend loveth at all times. He's loved us even before the world began. And He will love us to eternity. He will never stop loving us. We love Him because He first loved us. The fifth city, the fifth sanctuary city, as you know, Ramoth Gilead, which means highly exalted. Has the Father not highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every other name? He is the fairest of 10,000. altogether lovely. Have you read him in the Song of Solomon? Do you know anything about him? When you read of him in the Scriptures, is he not lovely? Is he not exalted? Is he exalted in your heart? He is precious. Have we not read that of Peter? To them that believe on him, he is precious. And then the sixth city, Golan. Golan in Bashan, which means captive. Well, we were captive to sin and to Satan, weren't we? But he has set the captives free. Our hearts have been set at liberty in Christ. And we love him now. We once were slaves to sin, but we're now slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving slaves. We love him. It's not a servile serving him, is it? It's a filial fear and a love and a veneration of the Lord Jesus. You see, he is our sanctuary. We're not only safe in him, but we're saved in him. And we're kept by him. But also, wouldn't a sanctuary be used for worship? As we gather here, and we know chapels have sanctuaries, some still use that term, it's a place for worship. And we worship him because he is God. And he shall be for a sanctuary. We worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you see, we couldn't worship God without Christ, who is the mediator, who goes on our behalf. You remember how Job said, oh, if there were a daysman, one who could go betwixt us, one who could lay his hand upon God and upon man. But there is a daysman, he who is the sanctuary, he who the tabernacle speaks of and promotes, shadows of good things to come. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman made under the law, to redeem them under the law. He is our sanctuary. Jesus, the sinner's friend, to thee, lost and undone, for aid I flee. Weary of earth, myself and sin, open thine arms and take me in. Jesus, before thy face we fall, our Lord, our life, our hope, our all, for we have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. He is a sanctuary. Would the Lord reveal him to be a sanctuary? You see, he's a stone of stumbling to so many, but he is the sanctuary for his people, and he shall be for a sanctuary. Oh, dear friends, many stumble at Christ. Many stumble at the gospel because the gospel offends. It tells us that we're guilty, that we're unclean, that we're unrighteous before God. But Christ is our refuge, and he is our only hope. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Friends, he is the only sanctuary. The Scriptures tell us that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And it's a blessed thing to know this sanctuary. You know, you can sit here tonight in the sanctuary, in this chapel, but know nothing of Christ. And that is a poor state to be in. Give your soul no rest till Christ give you rest. He is Emmanuel. Oh, Emmanuel, as we read in the verse 8. God with us. Paul, he says in Hebrews 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We thought this morning of God's wrath that's coming. It's coming. We don't know when. But God has made the Lord Jesus Christ to be a hiding place. And I tell you, if you do not know Christ as a sanctuary, greater judgment and greater wrath will come. I say this because of the very words of the Lord Jesus as he went and he preached to the ancient cities and he did many signs and many miracles and many wonders. And they rejected him. He said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them on the day of wrath. While we believe in the absolute sovereignty of God in salvation, we also believe, as the Bible so clearly and succinctly teaches, in man's responsibility. If we've heard of this sanctuary, how foolish to ignore it. How foolish. Imagine the man who's accidentally killed his friend. And the avengers of blood are coming. The family is coming. And they want to slay him. And he lingers outside one of those sanctuary cities. How foolish that is. But we know this. When the Lord reveals his sanctuary to his people, they flee to Christ for refuge. I remember when the Lord burdened my heart one evening and made me to see my perilous state without the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord he revealed my hiding place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hail sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. He shall be for a hiding place. Do we rest in Christ tonight? Think of the words of Isaac Watts, "A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, into thy hands I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Saviour and my all." And friends, if he is our hiding place, if we are Christians tonight, we need to make much of him in our life. He is worthy of all of our love, our praise, our adoration, and our worship. We don't worship a chapel. We don't worship a sanctuary. But we worship the God of the sanctuary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all these things. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, not at all. But he said, "He that believeth not is condemned already." You're in a place of condemnation. And friends, my exhortation this evening, in love, as the Word of God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. How can you be content to sit under the ministry of God's Word and hear of such a hiding place and be at ease? I can only say that is because you're blind. May God be pleased to have mercy and give you sight to see Christ, for he is the only hiding place. May God, by his grace, come minister to our souls. And if we know Christ this evening, we can say it is only of God's grace, isn't it? Grace has made me to see. The hymn of John Newton, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Grace has taught my heart to fear." It's grace, isn't it? And grace will lead me on. May God come in his grace tonight. Are you a Christian? Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream, All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis his Spirit's rising in you. If we feel the need, it's God that has made us to feel it. And he has made us willing in the day of his power. May God receive the glory. Amen. Jesus, before thy face we fall, our Lord, our life, our hope, our all, for we have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. In thee we every glory view, O safety, strength, and beauty too. 'Tis all our rest and peace to see, our sanctuary, Lord, in thee. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son. We don't know how to begin to thank thee and to praise thee as we should. But Lord, we pray that in our lives we might show the love we have in our hearts, though it be poor and weak. We thank thee that his love is stronger than ours. But Father, one day we shall love thee and we shall love thy Son with a perfect heart. Until then, keep us from ourselves, keep us from sin, keep us from this world. And may we keep ourselves loving our God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen.